We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
Alrighty, guys, welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Monday, September 23rd. And yeah, we're getting ready to rock and roll here. I am Rob White, fighting Texas Aggie Class of 2014.
Yeah, I'm Roy May, fighting Texas Aggie Class 2015.
Yeah, and well, interesting week of football. Certainly always seems to be that way. And we got plenty to get into, I'm sure.
It was an interesting week, kind of all around football, quite frankly. You know, ours wasn't the only result that I thought was surprising.
Yeah.
I think the Mizzou result was surprising. The Army result was not surprising. Thank you very much. Beat the hell out of Rice.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they beat the hell out of Rice. They went on four drives in the first half and scored like four touchdowns. It was like us playing, what was it, McNeese, when we scored four of our first four.
Right.
So, that's like I said on X, man. Army's going to F around and triple option their way into the playoff.
Good on them.
That is absolutely not going to happen, by the way. Yeah, that's not. But yeah, like, we'll just kick off with our game, and then we'll kind of go through what we picked, because it was an abysmal week for picks, by the way.
Yes.
You know, I got everything. I was trying to do some daily fantasy stuff too. It just. Yeah, so you beat Bowling Green at home. I think there was some trepidation here and there amongst the fan base going into this game, because you knew Bowling Green was a loaded opponent in the sense that as a MAC team, they were super experience heavy. Mm-hmm. Have what may end up being one of the best tight ends to go in the draft this year. Like, he's legit. Their quarterback, you know, he started in the SEC. So they've got talent and they've got experience. And we've seen this play out at Caulfield before with App State, right?
Yeah.
Same thing. Super experienced. Lots of juniors and seniors and maybe even some fifth years. Couple pieces of talent in there. I thought what I saw out of them was better than what I saw out of App State, you know, the year they beat us. I thought we kind of beat ourselves in the App State game as opposed to App State winning it. Whereas Bowling Green, they had some opportunities, but we really gifted them a whole lot. Marcel Reed goes out as 270 some under 270 right in the nose, I think, total yards offense. So another good showing from him. Le'Veon Moss gets to 90, so doesn't quite eclipse the century mark, but you know, overall, I think, you know, you know 243 rushing, only, you know, obviously only 173 passing, but no picks, no turnovers, right? Turnovers, right. Actually in the running game, which was obviously a little obnoxious.
Surprising.
But you're able to take one away from them, you know, on an interception. You know, you get a couple of sacks. So I thought I liked what I saw, but just from a sense of winning the game. And again, Marcel Reed learning, he's still seems like he's missing some open dudes. I still think he's going through his progressions too quickly, but that may be something hard to shake it. And maybe that's a byproduct of just having legs that you always know, like, that, you know, you've always been able to beat people with your legs. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know that. So I don't really know how to suggest to change that. But so again, still looking to see him get through his progressions a little bit better, be a bit more patient and find those open guys. Yeah. And then when he has them, hit them, you know, there's still some missed throws in there. Overall, it was an efficient day for him, but again, you know, you're missing some big throws. A surefire touchdown was one of them. The Le'Veon Moss fumble was just, I mean, he's good. That's inexcusable at that stage of the game. I mean, that should have been game.
Yeah, you know, uncharacteristic.
He holds on that ball and you're basically calling game. So that was frustrating to see, because then all of a sudden, you know, it's squeaky bum time again, right? Sure. And BAS is flaring up. But I thought there were some positive takeaway from the game. You know, you notch a couple more sacks, you get another turnover. Well, let's start with the obvious. You win the game, right?
You win the game, right? And at the end of the day, the thing that we've always said in these type of games is I would much rather have these type of games and still win, always.
Well, and these are the games that we didn't always win.
Right.
So there's plenty to take away from it. There's plenty to nitpick, and there's plenty that needs to be fixed. And Elko was pretty clear about that. But
yeah, that post game little interview was fun, and there was a question about that. We'll get to that in a bit. But
well, and you're staring down now two straight games that are going to be away from Kyle. I mean, only one of them is a true road game, but the one that's, you know, the neutral side game is one that has given us fits every year, just about. Say maybe like one, maybe like a Johnny.
Yeah, one or two where we've really, there wasn't many question marks if we were going to win that game. But it, something about that Arkansas game, it's always far more entertaining than it ever should be.
Yeah. So you've got that in the back of your mind, and then you combine that with kind of the performance we had against Bowling Green. And there's two trains of thought. You know, you can say, well, you know, Bowling Green took, you know, Penn State to the wire. And so, you know, we beat them, you know, a little bit better than Penn State did. But at the same time, you know, you'd like to see the program turn in the corner. And so, like, I can see both sides of that argument. For me, it's just this is the team that I'm not sure they know how to close anything out just yet. And so they're going to make it hard on themselves. And I don't know if that's a focus thing. I don't know if it's an effort thing. If it feels like a focus thing. It also feels like it's not just the players, again, talking about, you know, some play calling that maybe could have been improved on, you know, to really keep the foot on the neck.
Right.
But, you know, also I thought Nick Scorton had a great day, and I thought he was reaching Myles Garrett level of being held.
Yeah, no kidding.
It was egregious, man. And so, you know, there's a lot of positives to take away. My linebacker play is still a little concerning. You know, and again, we talked about this. We've talked about this since the beginning of this season. These chunk plays, man.
Yeah.
You don't give up anything, but then you give up a 40-yarder. You don't give up anything, and you give up a 60-something yarder, like a 67?
Yeah, 65-yard pass.
65, yeah. So, again, to the guy that you knew you had to guard going into this.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had 250 yards through the air. He had 145 of them.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, those two chunk plays, and you're giving it up. And then another thing, and I'm not trying to sit here and complain the whole time. Again, we won, all right? We won, and it's good for this team to learn how to win. But, like, not converting drives. We didn't score 70 points. So our kicker having 14 points is not exactly a positive. I mean, yay, he went 4 for 4.
I was about to say, I will take a 4 for 4 kicker every day of my life, because those type of kickers are going to be so important in those tighter situations. And the fact that we have a guy who can go out there and do it pretty regularly is a big positive for me. I'm very happy with Randy Bond.
And he got one in that danger zone that he's had issues with, right? The 40 to 49, you know, that's like, it's like a no fly zone for him sometimes. So, you know, so he gets one in between there, but my problem is that the kicker is scoring so much.
Right. We don't necessarily want that, but it's good at least that we have the option.
Right. But we need to finish drives.
I agree.
Like that's my biggest thing. Like, it's great that he can kick. We know he can kick. But I wish he didn't have to kick. I wish he was 5 for 5 on extra points.
Yeah.
You know, that's my complaint is we're not finishing. And again, that goes back to missing some throws and some mistakes. Again, lots of mistakes. It's really frustrating, and this boils over into Sundays too, because I'm a Cowboys fan. Well, and I watched some of the Texans game too, and just the amount of penalties, like it's unbelievable, and it's not like we're racking up 200 yards in penalties. Although it's not like we haven't tried yet this season, but it's even at a professional level, watching these penalties just kill these drives, absolutely kill these drives. And sometimes they happen on big plays, which would have been a drive extender, or at least a play that would have put you in a good position to extend the drive. And so the penalties are driving me batty. That's kind of where I'm at right now. This was a game that I thought we could get something more out of, you know, other than what we, you know, thought we were going to get out of McNeese State. But, this is one you just got to, I mean, watch the tape. You won, get out of there, and just you got to turn the page, because you've got a tough game against an Arkansas team that doesn't like you.
Right. And very much at a point in time where if they want to keep their head coach for an extended period of time, they need to start winning a lot of games in a very short period of time. And this is one of those monkeys that's been on their back. This is Texas A&M, has been for many, many years. In fact, was it 11 of the last 12? Have gone to A&M. which is, you know, that's impressive in any rivalry. And it's not exactly like we haven't been playing them in a neutral site, because, I mean, it's been flat up outside of three games. We played the first two, home and home, when we got back in the SEC. Now you played one game at Kyle during the COVID year. But every other game has been over there at Jerry World.
Yeah. I mean, they've had, I wouldn't say it's an advantage per se. I don't think it's an advantage either way. So we've given them a field to play on.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same for both of us. We both have to travel. We're both in locker rooms that aren't our own. We're both not sleeping in our own beds. So this is the best chance they could have had. And when we played them at Kyle, and when we played them in Fayetteville, we stomped them.
Yeah. All three times. So.
Yeah. So it's, I'll be glad for this to be over with.
Thank goodness. And because it's supposed to be done after this year.
This is the last year. Correct. Yeah. So this is the last year for having to go to Jerry's World. So we can go back to, you know, home and away, like a regular rotation.
As it should be. I mean, let's face it. I mean, I would much rather go on road trips to Fayetteville. I mean, I went in 13. Absolute blast. I mean, a ton of fun. Good people. Obviously, weren't too thrilled because, you know, we won the game. But that was before the big streak.
And the weather sucked. I remember that. The weather really sucked.
It did.
Well, my thing is, like, and we talk about this, too, and we've talked about it probably every year. I know that college football is supposed to be played on college campuses. That kind of week zero, week one, I get it. You know, you're trying to drum stuff up, and, you know, you have teams from the Southeast going to play out West and vice versa and getting to play in front of different crowds and different recruiting areas, you know, than you're used to playing in when you're playing in conference. So I get it. Plus, it's a revenue grab, which means whether I like it or not, that's just the truth of the matter. But once you get into the season, and especially a flipping conference game, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's – I'm so glad it's over. I'll just leave it at that.
Well, there's just good pageantry to be had on campus. I mean, there is something about having to travel to that other school, experience their their pregame, their tailgate scene, their all the different places that you're supposed to visit in that town. There's a beauty to that. I mean, I would much rather have the opportunity to travel to places like, you know, State College up in Pennsylvania or Tempe, Arizona or Eugene, Oregon, or I would love those opportunities to travel for those games. And the fact that we have a conference game against an opponent that's a very, very prominent opponent for us and historically a phenomenal rivalry going back to the Southwest Conference days, and we're still not going to Fayetteville.
Yeah, well, and can we be honest? The atmosphere in Cowboy Stadium sucks.
It's not great, and it's just gotten worse every year, it feels like. I mean, those first couple of seasons, yeah, you had 80,000 so in there, and
people are tired of going.
Yeah, it's trickled down to 50-something. Nobody wants to pay, you know, $80 to park, get your beers, which are costing $16 or $17.
You're $300 in the hole, and you're not talking about the ticket to get you in.
Yeah, that's just – and like, I don't understand the appeal. I never went to a game when A&M played at Arkansas, and I've maintained that because I don't feel like breaking that streak.
Well, I mean, I've been, obviously, for obvious reasons.
Oh, sure. But I had never gone to a game there between A&M and Arkansas. The only time I've seen A&M play in that building was the Cotton Bowl in 2012. And, ooh, that was a good one. I mean, the 2012 Cotton Bowl, which was in 13. You know what I mean.
Well, in those settings can still be electric. But you're talking about going to an NFL stadium to play a regular season college football game.
Yeah.
And this is now, you know, 10 years, basically, out of the last 12, 9 years out of the last, something like that. The last 12. That
Nine out of the last 12.
And, like, all the newness has worn off. Everybody that's had any opportunity or wanted to go and see Jerry's World and even get there a day early and take the tour and la, 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 freaking law. It's all done now, man. Like, this has got to be the end of it. And I heard something goofy on the Louis Belina show today. Said Arkansas wants they have a kind of a recruiting request for this game moving forward. That when it's a home game, it's at Kyle. When it's them, they want to play in Little Rock. I don't know how much legs that got to. I don't really care on the away game. I just want our Kyle games back. Well, if they want to take it off campus like a bunch of idiots, go ahead.
Well, and that's the crazy part when you consider Arkansas as a program. And, like, yeah, I know we're going down an Arkansas rabbit hole. It's that, you know, obviously it's that week. But, I mean, yeah, Arkansas, you play your home games and you – take one or two of them every year and you put them in Little Rock, which is central of the state, pretty good distance away from Fayetteville. And so all of a sudden, if you're a student going to football games, I mean, are you going to travel to Little Rock for that game? I understand why they play it there, because that's a better opportunity for people from around the state to all go to a game as opposed to having to watch, your university of, which is in the extreme northwest corner of the state.
I mean, I guess if they want to do it like once, I get it.
Right. And I can understand that working every once in a while, but man, sacrificing another big home game for, in a conference game at that, when it's so important for you to win those games and you're going to take it away from your primary environment, that's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
I mean, is Little Rock really that big of a hotbed for recruiting? Is it?
I wouldn't think it was that crazy.
The
I mean,
last time, these are the two times in history that Little Rock has ever been on my radar. One, when we found out where the president was from, right?
right.
Bill Clinton was from Little Rock, right?
Yep.
And before that, it was the HBO special called Gang Banging in Little Rock. It's the only two times Little Rock has ever been relevant in the history of this country. All right. Not to mention that was a fantastic show. I remember watching that as a kid. I think that was like I was young enough to where I had kind of sneak it around my parents. But yeah.
Anyhow, that's funny.
Whatever. That's look, is what it is.
It is what it is. Man, you know what? I want to get into our picks because I know they weren't great.
Well, neither of us did. I went 2-3 and you went 1-4. So we both just suck at this. So do the Costanza. You know, if you're looking at our picks and thinking about making picks, then do the opposite.
Just do the opposite of what we say because 90% of the time, I mean, it's a coin flip at the stage of the game. Figure it out.
We're bad at this.
Not very good.
All right. So you know what? And I talked myself out of this emotional pick because I wanted to pick the Fighting Illini, but I ended up going Nebraska. Illinois, impressive. Goes to Nebraska, 8.5 point dogs.
Overtime.
Very impressed with that.
Yeah. I mean, you have a 3-0 Illinois team and against a very closely ranked Nebraska team. You have two teams that at this stage of the game
Both in the
understand.
20 to 25 range. They were
Yeah.
22, 20 and 24 is what they were. Nebraska was 20 and Illinois was 24.
22 and 24. And we've got, I mean, it was a, it was a great game. Good on Illinois for going into a tough environment against a program that, finally felt like they were getting their feet, back under them. And an Illinois program that's absolutely trying to move that direction. And now you're sitting at 4-0.
Well, I think we talked about this. Both of these programs were right at about the same state. Like they've been improving.
Yeah.
This is probably about where they need to be. So this is maybe who's further along. But man, being 8.5 point dogs to go on the road and win—that's a bit of a statement.
It
Because
is.
when Nebraska starts getting better, I get that they pack it in at Lincoln, but they get start getting rowdy, rowdy, and that was a big time environment. So we both missed on that. But congratulations to Illinois,
Yeah,
good
good
old
win.
Fighting Illini. That was very impressive.
Yes.
Next one we picked Tennessee at OU. This was actually a ton closer than I thought it would be.
I mean, Oklahoma had a much better fourth quarter. I'll give them that. No doubt about it. But really, at no point did I think that Tennessee ever didn't have
I
full
was just
control.
shocked Tennessee only scored 25.
Right. I would have liked to have seen more points out of them.
I
And
was
that was,
just shocked.
well, it's showing what we've kind of learned about this particular brand of Oklahoma football. They're a lot more defensive focused, which is not a bad thing. I think long term for a team, it's good to have that. But if
Probably
you don't,
serves them better in the SEC.
oh, no doubt it definitely will. That meme popped up of, I guess it's, oh gosh, Thanos and baby Gamora. And she's like, it's like, what did you do? It's like, I got myself an elite defense. What did it cost you? Everything.
Everything.
It's like, you've got a really good defense. Yeah. And now you can't score points. I mean, you get 12 points there in the fourth quarter. You make a run. But I mean, you still lose by 10 at home to a really good Tennessee team. And we all kind of figured this is what the end result would have been. I would have liked to have seen more points out of Tennessee personally for my pick, but Tennessee wins.
Yeah, I mean, well, they still covered. I mean, it was only 7.5. All
Yeah.
right, the next game was the most shocking result of the weekend for me. Can you guess which one it is?
Are you gonna say Michigan?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that one took me for a loop too. I was all in on the UFC hype train and Michigan out here trying to prove that Texas is a good football team.
What wasn't even the hype train, like. Everything we'd seen just told us Michigan sucked.
Right.
So I cannot believe USC went into the Big House and lost this game as 5.5-point favorites. I mean, I can believe it, but you lose a game as 5.5-point or 5.5-point favorites on the road, and they threw for 32 yards, and you lost that game.
I mean, it's amazing what happens when you have a runner that can go for 159, score a couple touchdowns.
Their leading rusher went for 100. The quarterback threw for 3 and threw for 283. And you still find a way to lose that game.
Yep. It's insane.
Embarrassing is what it is.
Yes.
It's embarrassing for USC and USC screwing my picks. That's a double whammy, mister. That's two strikes.
One more and you're gone, buddy. You're gone. And you know what? Next pick.
No, hold on. You know what ticks me off even more probably about it is the fact that it gives some sort of legitimacy to the Sips.
That's what I was saying right at the start of this. Like, all of a sudden, you're letting Texas act like they're actually good. Which they are. They're a good football team. I'm not going to sit here and deny it.
All right, our next pick was Utah, Oklahoma State.
Yeah. You know what? Good on the Utes going into a tough environment. Oklahoma State made a big run there at the end, but...
They did.
Little too late, unfortunately, for them.
Well, and what's shocking to me is Ollie Gordon still hasn't gotten going. Oklahoma State wants to make the playoffs, which in theory they have a shot at this, right?
They do.
Ollie Gordon's got to get going, and he's not. 42 yards rushing on 11 carries. You only gave him the ball 11 times to run. Hello, it's Ollie Gordon back there. So Oklahoma State's got to figure that out. If they get Ollie Gordon running, they can run at the Big 12. Absolutely. If they can't, they don't have a shot at all. Because if he only goes for 42, Alex Bowman throws for 206 and two picks, you're done.
Quick timeout here. How on earth did I only go 1-4 when I picked LSU and Tennessee? LSU math that for me.
LSU was the week before.
LSU over UCLA? That was this week, sir. I thought we picked that game.
We didn't pick that game.
Okay, we did not pick that game. I thought we picked that game. Okay,
no, we just talked about it.
That was my bad.
Yeah. I think we were just talking about, I think that one, if we had to pick it, we were going to go off the spread because of how bad UCLA is.
Right, and LSU won pretty handily in that one.
No, we didn't pick that one.
Okay, quick surprising result. BYU over Kansas State. I mean, kicked the dog out of them.
Well, that was a shocker. And now, so what's weird is BYU's heading to Baylor, and Baylor's like a 2.5-point favorite.
Yeah.
Riddle me that. Yeah, because Waco's such a tough place to play.
Yeah. The bano on the Brazos. that's the name I'm going with. I mean, because it literally looks like a toilet bowl. I mean, tell me I'm wrong from the air.
Oh, no, it 100% does. you would not be incorrect on that one. Yeah, I mean, I had some hard times picking some games this week just because there's not a lot that are tight. But
no, you're right.
Let's see. But then the last one was the Ags, and we both got it wrong because we bet the spread. Because the spread was so big. So
right.
We both donked that one. So I go 2-3, you go 1-4. So that brings us to, I'm at 10-10, and you are at 9-11 so far.
Yeah, I mean, so there you go.
You want to do the picks now?
Sure. Yeah, let's jump into it.
We'll do the picks now, and then we can answer the questions and get into whatever your mystery topic is.
All right, we can do that.
All right, so I picked top 25 games that were close spreads, the closest I could find.
All right.
All right. I only looked at the top 25. There might be some fun games out there this week, but.
Yeah, let's get top 25 up here.
So we're going to start off with Louisville travels to Notre Dame. Notre Dame is a 6.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I mean, you got number 15 and number 16 going in. That is going to be a very interesting game.
I think it should be a great game. I really do. I'll be honest, I just haven't watched a lot of Louisville, so to see them pop up at 15, I'm like, well, okay, there you go. So there's Notre Dame 6.5 at home. So no matter what Louisville has done to get to 15, I think I'm going to stick with Notre Dame in this one.
And not
to mention some of that's emotional. I need Notre Dame to win some games.
Right. I mean, I'm with you on picking Notre Dame strictly because I'm in that same boat. I want to see them continually do well, justify. But, I mean, if you look at how Louisville's played out this year, you know, they played Austin Peay, smoked them, and then they took care of their business against Jacksonville State. But had a good win over a decent Georgia Tech team, beat them 31-19. So that'll help. But, once again, I'm with you on that. I'm going Notre Dame.
Go Notre Dame, yeah.
Fighting Irish.
Part of this is me just trying to will them to win.
Will them to win. Come on, Irish. Do something for me.
All right. So we got the Cowboys coming off a tight one, going on the road to play Kansas State.
Ooh, and that's Kansas two teams.
Kansas State are 6-point favorites in this one. But we just talked about it. Like, if Oklahoma State refuses to get Ollie Gordon going, it's not really going to matter.
Right. And, that is a
early kick in Manhattan. Blah.
Yeah, that's a tough pick. Man, I'll be honest. If I'm going a direction on this one, I'm going to go Oklahoma State. I think they get Ollie Gordon going. I think they realize their mistakes in the previous game. They had some momentum going there in the second half. Kansas State just had absolutely nothing coming out of that BYU game. They got smoked. They had a lot of things they had to address that they need to address this week. I like Oklahoma.
If that game against BYU had been a little bit higher scoring, I think I could take Kansas State here at home. But Kansas State just looked completely anemic and inept.
They did. And
so I don't think they get Ollie Gordon going this week. I don't. But I think BYU gave everybody a little bit of a blueprint on how to shut down Kansas State.
Yeah.
And if I were a betting man, I think Oklahoma State's defense is better than BYU's. Maybe, maybe not. But see, the other catch is, like, Kansas State teams always bounce back, too, though, you know?
They do tend to bounce back.
It doesn't matter who the coach is. That's just, like, their DNA. You know what? Mike Gundy can't get things done. He just can't. I'm going to go with Kansas State in this one.
All right. We'll go and go for a split. I'll go with Oklahoma State.
Yeah. Next one, OU is traveling to Auburn. So, this was surprising to me just what the line was, because I didn't think OU looked god-awful against an outstanding Tennessee team.
Yeah.
And I think Auburn is really bad.
They did not look great, even in that Arkansas game. I mean, really combined between the two of them. I'm not sure if you saw this stat, but Arkansas-Auburn last week, 16 combined receptions, 5 interceptions.
Solid.
So
here's what's weird about this game. The line is OU by 2. That makes no sense to me after what we just saw out of last week.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I think Oklahoma's defense good.
Is this Jordan Hare?
Is that Jordan Hare?
Is that the reason? Is that it? So you're saying this game is a coin flip? Well, no.
Close.
I mean, it's, yeah. I think this is a joke of a line. I've got Boomer Sooner absolutely rolling all over Auburn.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm going Oklahoma. But
because I think we saw an OU defense that could at least semi-hang with a wildly high-powered Tennessee offense.
Right.
About to go up against a wildly crappy Auburn offense.
Yeah. Oklahoma.
I think Oklahoma's defense can win this game for them.
they very well might.
Yeah.
Oklahoma for sure in that game. Auburn, just not very good this year.
Yeah.
I don't think.
And obviously, the last game we're going to pick for the Aggies, I think this one's a no-brainer to pick.
Yes.
Uga is on the road in Tuscaloosa, and Uga is a 1.5-point favorite on the road in Tuscaloosa. Thoughts?
Alabama.
Really?
Alabama. Okay. Something about the way I've been watching Alabama play this year, I like what they're bringing to the table in the rushing attack. I really like what they're bringing as far as their receivers. They've been phenomenal. I think with this game being in Tuscaloosa, I understand it's not Nick Saban, but you still have to get the monkey off the back with Alabama. And I really think, like I said, this is number 4, number 2. It's going to be a high energy matchup. Was it? What time is that game? Yeah, 6:30 ABC. It's going to be a night game. It's going to be awesome. I'm going Alabama. I think they're going to knock off Georgia.
I think Georgia is sick of hearing everybody talk shit.
I think they are too.
And I think they have the team to respond. I think this is where Kirby Smart's going to go into Tuscaloosa and happily shake DeBoer's hand before the game and have a great chat. And then Kirby Smart's going to do everything in his power to remind everybody in the SEC that Georgia is now the big dog. And if there were a single game to remind everybody of this, it's right here. He's got 2 shots at this and Georgia, or this and the Sips.
Right.
And this is leg one of that two-leg trip.
And here's how I envision it. I see Georgia losing this game, turning around, you know, tightening the chin strap and taking it to Texas the next time around.
Georgia rolls them both.
I'd say that's my flow for this game.
Yeah, I think Georgia's better than Alabama right now. I'm not saying there's a huge wide chasm, and obviously being in Tuscaloosa is going to help, but I think Kirby Smart knows how important this game is, and I think he also knows how important the next game is. Like, Kirby Smart has proven to be every bit as good of a coach as Nick Saban. Now, maybe Nick Saban in his younger years, obviously, because he hasn't accomplished enough to be able to sniff what Nick Saban has done.
No.
But what he was able to do with Georgia, maybe not quite as impressive as the situation, you know, when Nick Saban had to turn, had to show up and really had to rehaul some stuff. Now, Mike Richt was winning 9 to 10 games a year. It's not like the cupboards at Georgia were bare.
No.
But Mike Richt showed that it needed somebody special to get over the hump.
Right.
And so while we can't account for this because it's just the results, as long as the officials don't have their Bama shakers in their back pocket, their little pom-poms, I've got Georgia. I like Georgia. I think it's going to be probably maybe one of the games of the year.
Oh, I think it's going to be a phenomenal game.
And if it's not, then everybody watch out for Georgia.
Right. We'll see what happens. If Georgia rolls, then yeah, then we know it's Georgia. And like I said, they are the
Georgia. Then we know it's Georgia, maybe Tennessee, and then maybe Ohio State, and then it's everybody else.
Yeah.
And maybe Texas.
Yeah. I mean, that's about where it's at right now.
All right. Arkansas, Ags, neutral. We got 3.5. We're 3.5 point favorites going into this. The line has moved. I think it opened at 5.5.
It shifted as of today. It just shifted back up to 4 in favor of A&M. So.
Okay, well, I pulled up live ESPN, so I don't know what they're slacking on. I think it opened at 5.5 was initial line.
Yeah.
Absolutely goofy game. It is every year. I hate Jerry's World. I'm so thrilled this is the last year. I'm really sick of playing Arkansas in general. Especially with the new kind of setup and who we're supposed to just like get it figured out, get it all set in place. And can we please be done with the BS games like this? That said, I don't think Arkansas is very good. I think Arkansas and Mississippi State and Auburn are the three worst left on our schedule.
Yeah.
And maybe not in that order. Maybe it's Arkansas, then the next worst is Auburn, then Mississippi State, because I think Mississippi State's really, really, really bad.
Yeah, and naturally, that's the first SEC game that Texas gets, worst possible Mississippi State team they could ever get. But here we are.
So you've got those three teams. So you're lucky that you're not loaded, because what? We don't have Uga. We don't have Bama. And this year, we don't have to play Tennessee. No. Who else are we missing? Lane. We don't have to play the Lane train.
Nope.
So we've got to be able to navigate the schedule, and it starts this week. And you know what? And honestly, whether – I don't know if it's a one-off or not, but does Mizzou look as scary as they did?
I mean, I'd say Vanderbilt better team than they have been, absolutely. But in Missouri –
that was in Columbia, man.
Yeah, and it was in Columbia. That's a
– Vandy kicker could have won the game and he missed, and he could have brought another overtime and he missed. That's the situation Mizzou is in at home to Vandy.
If they had a Randy Bond, it'd be a different situation.
Yeah, Mizzou'd be like 12th in the country now.
Yeah,
because they would have dropped at least 5 spots for losing to Vandy, and the SEC shorts would have been even better.
It was so fun. That was a good one.
Yeah, this week's is really good. But I've got the Ags pulling this one out. This is a game they've got to have, especially with Mizzou looming on the horizon. This is not a true away game. This is get up to Dallas. Get out in Cowboy Stadium. Enjoy the locker room for the new guys. Enjoy the experience. Get out there and go beat an Arkansas team that you're supposed to beat.
Yep. I'm with you on that. I think you go out there, you win that game. And then, then you get a really, really
– get your butts back home and heal.
Yep.
And get ready for Mizzou.
Yeah. Those are two, I would say, really this next several game stretch is so vastly important for us in determining what we're going to happen, you know, what's going to happen for us for the rest of the year. And you've got to start on the right foot.
Well, and maybe this Bowling Green game, like we talked about, look, I don't think this is a team that knows how to win. This is clearly not a team that knows how to close opponents out. Maybe it was a little bit of combination of both. You got shocked that you couldn't close out Bowling Green, but you did find a way to hold on and win the game. So again, I'm trying and I'm generally an optimistic person when it comes to the Ags, right? And I'm not blindly optimistic per se, but I used to be, but, but I think that's two inferior opponents that have both been handled kind of lightly to an extent and
Sure.
letting them pop big plays when they shouldn't have. And so my biggest thing is I want to see how they respond, and I want to see it on their first drive. And I don't care if we get the ball or if we go on defense. I want to see that they're there to play the game, and they are there to come in and for four quarters beat Arkansas up and down the field. And you have the talent to do it. You have the coaches to do it. The coaches need to remember to coach. We need the coaching to do it.
Right.
Play calling, it needs to stay there. It needs to stay, like we say, on the neck. Keep your foot on the neck and go in. We're not having to play the stupid 11 a.m. game, so we're good there. But you can get up there. Honestly, you can play the game, come home, and you can catch most of the night college football if you wanted to, back in your own apartment. It's right up the road, and it'll be a plane, and it's a 45-minute flight. So, but again, I don't know that it's going to be pretty, but I think it's going to be Marcell Reed, and I think the Aggs are going to win because I think that our defense is better than Auburn's defense.
Yes,
I
I
think I
agree
can
with you.
say that emphatically,
Yeah.
right? So I'm looking for some turnovers.
Yeah, I think you take advantage of, create opportunities,
Create a
get
couple.
turnovers.
Create two for me. I don't foresee Le'Veon Moss turning into a fumble machine. That was just a, it happens. So far, Marcell Reed has shown us that he's not forcing things. Now he's missing throws, but he's not missing them to where they're ending up, in the wrong jersey color's hands, right?
Right, we don't want that.
So efficient Marcell Reed, take care of the football. Obviously, Le'Veon Moss, I just no brain. I don't think he's going to fumble. And then defense, create a couple of turnovers, and you can turn this game on its head pretty quickly in the first two quarters. But you need to come out with your hair on fire straight out of the locker room.
Yeah, I definitely want to see a strong second half from Texas A&M.
Well, I want to
And
see two really good halves.
right. Well, I want a very, very good first half, and I want a strong follow-up in second half. That's essentially what I'm going for. I mean, take what you do in the first half of these games, like especially like what we did with Florida, what we do with McNeese. You do what you do in those games.
Extrapolate it to the second half.
Yes, and just keep the momentum going. Like, don't
Right.
allow these people to come crawling back in the second half.
So you got the Aggs though? All
I do have the eggs, yes.
right. So we both got Notre Dame. I've got K-State and you got OK State in that one. We both got the Sooners. I've got UGA and you've got Bama, and we both have the Aggs.
Right, so see how it plays out. Should be fun. We do have a handful of questions
Well,
that
hopefully it plays out Notre Dame, Kansas State, OU, UGA, and the Aggs. That's what I'm hoping.
to each their own. Anyhow, so getting into our questions. So Jonna had one. She said, thoughts on Elko after the game. Haven't seen a coach react that way after a win. EPL thoughts and an early, super early bowl prediction.
I'll pass on the bowl prediction.
Sure. I mean, and I would too, just because, I mean, we're nowhere close to really thinking about
Yeah.
that.
You said 9-3. I said 10-2 this season. That was regular season. If we're at 10-2, then we make the playoffs. Like 10-2 in the SEC should make the playoffs because that would mean we only have one more loss on our schedule.
Yeah.
So even if it's to Texas, then that means that's our only conference loss.
Right. Which
So
would be,
yeah, it'd be hard to keep us out. You said 9-3, so that would put us in a non-playoff bowl.
Yeah, that'd be like a Outback Bowl or something.
So I've probably cooled off of that 10-2, but that's what I predicted. So that stays on the paper.
Stayed out. So thoughts on
What were
that
the other
Elko?
two? Elko. I don't have any problem with him talking about that because when a coach speaks in generalities, I don't have a problem. The problem I have is when you have like a Hugh Freeze that throws his players directly under the bus.
Right.
Mike Elko said they played atrociously. Mike Elko's not wrong. Mike Elko didn't say his quarterback sucked. Mike Elko didn't say, I can't believe Le'Veon Moss fumbled the ball. What a piece of
No.
trash. Like, it's he takes accountability, and he's not saying it when he says it. I believe that he's not just saying the players played like crap. Like, this was a team effort to be this bad, including the coaches, and we've got to make it better and we've got to fix it. And I haven't seen anything from Elko otherwise to think anything else, So to me, it's an accountability thing. Probably a little bit more energized coming off the end of a game that was a lot tighter than it should have been. So maybe, if you wanted to pull back a word or two that he said and use maybe different phrasing, Lana. But I don't have any problem with what he said. My biggest thing is just when coaches go out there and just straight up throw him under the bus. And I think And especially we've had time to, you know, sit back and think about it. Then, you know, there was also a press conference today and everybody slept on it, and it's cooler heads will prevail kind of thing.
Right. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. I think it's perfectly fine. I mean, once again, he didn't target anybody individually. Mm-hmm. I think it's important for us to be accountable, understand that this was not the best effort that we could have put forth in this game, and use it as an opportunity to grow and get better. And he will take that. He said, you know, yes, we win, but there's better things we can do. And that's exactly what you should do.
It was, we've got to be better, is basically what he said.
Yeah, we got to.
That part I love.
Yeah. He understands, you know, the frustrations of the situation. He understands frustrations within the fan base, I'm sure, because he's been around us before. He gets it.
Yeah.
He totally understands.
Absolutely.
As far as EPL thoughts, something very fascinating happened this week. I'm not sure if you saw, but, you know, Rodri with Man City going out with an ACL injury, probably done for the season.
Yeah.
And that's a big loss.
Unless Haaland goes down, I just, whatever.
Yeah.
If De Bruyne or Haaland can stay healthy, I really don't see anybody beating them enough to beat them.
I mean, I do, but you know,
I don't.
But that's because I actually have a horse in the race, and that's kind of nice.
Well, so do I. I mean, I enjoy the Premier League, and I don't particularly care for either Manchester club winning. But
no.
So since I don't have a horse in the race, mine's probably a little bit more objective.
Fair. But yeah, I mean. So
well, I have a horse in the race, but I just hope Arsenal blows. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, they're sitting in fourth right now. Liverpool's up in second. They're even with Aston Villa, 12 points, both south of City at 13. You know, they're still working into the season. There's still a lot of matches coming up.
So much football left. But, I mean, if she's talking about specifically our clubs, like West Ham is trash until they're not.
Right, and Liverpool – you know, you drop a tough match, you know, last week, and then you turn around and you took care of business this week and look pretty good. And whenever you're taking care of business in the Champions League stuff, I mean, that's all we're really looking for right now.
We were 15 minutes into the match before we figured out that there was a match going on. So I don't want Moyes back, but I want Jello to figure it out.
Yeah. Okay. So on a different front, John Patterson, one of our pals, he said, both quarterbacks healthy. Who are you going with? I want to continue to roll with Reed. I think with the lack of playmakers at the wide receiver, we need this running element. Most of the Twitter fan base seems to want to go back to Connor.
Oh, that was all his answer. I thought you were answering.
Yeah, that was all him.
I was like, man, you really have that scripted. Sounds like you're reading it.
Yeah, that literally was.
So I tend to agree with I tend to agree with him. I do. My thought is Connor Wegman's floor is lower relative to as a passer, obviously. But I think overall quarterback play, which is to me efficiency and total yardage, right?
Sure.
I think what Reed provides with his legs, I think means you have to have him there. I think you just have to. And so, I mean, I don't know what that does to Connor Wegman. You know, I don't know if he checks out. I don't know if he's gone after the show. I don't know. I really don't know. But I'm of the opinion that you have to put the person in that gives you the best chance to win against what is obviously not a very good defense. Breakdowns occur, and a mobile quarterback is a nightmare. Like the worse your defense is, the bigger the nightmare the dual quarterback threat becomes, right? Because if you're not a good defense, that means you're not good at assignments. And if you're not good at assignments, you're screwed with a mobile quarterback, because we have a running game and we have enough of a passing game to you have to respect it.
Yes.
And so I think what he brings as the dynamic of those two, I mean, you put Connor and he gets hurt again.
Well, and that's where my worry comes is, like, if you put Connor Wegman back in there, is he going to commit to that opportunity to run if he is potentially scared of getting hurt again? I mean, not necessarily scared, but like worried about the opportunity of getting hurt.
In the back of your mind.
Right. I mean, because once it happens to you, it's always going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, you don't want that to be a repeat. We've seen that happen to players in the past. So I understand maybe a bit of that apprehension in the run game. I'm with you on Reed. I will say this. If they end up putting Connor Wegman in, I'm like, give him a couple of drives and see how he's looking. If he still looks like he does against, like he did against Notre Dame, against Arkansas, Reed.
It's got to be a short leash.
Yes.
Leash, excuse me.
Yeah.
Leash.
You're good.
Yeah, I got to quit working. Yeah, I just, and I know so many people are clamoring for Connor, and I get it. I understand their arguments for it. I do. He just asked me my opinion, and that's mine. I'd roll with Reed the rest of the year.
Right, and that's what I would do too. But I understand that would be frustrating for Connor, but at the same
time. You have a wildly capable backup.
Yes, exactly. So this is from B. Davidson Lamb, one of our other buddies. He said, has Moose played his last down as an Aggie?
So this one's tough because I feel like, you know, you never want to kind of promote the rumor mill too much. But when you hear enough of the same coming out, like he doesn't commit himself, his effort's not there. Like it seems like he may still be having a hard time with the playbook and kind of the simplicities of any position. I mean, I guess it's a little bit more complex. I get it, but still, it just sounds like the work ethic isn't there. And if I'm wrong, please, by all means, but when you start hearing the same thing from different sources over and over and over and over and over again, and then you just watch some tape. I mean, it doesn't look like he's running his routes correctly. It looks like if he's not getting the ball, he's pretty much not running it at 100%.
Yeah.
And those things show up on tape big time when coaches look.
And I mean, they want you to commit to those routes, you know, like, you know, if you're wide receiver and the ball's not necessarily intended to go to you, I mean, you might as well complete that route, keep running, make them think that you're going to be the factor there. And at the end of the day, if the other guy's covered, then you're potentially open. So it's so important for you to maintain, you know, stick to the script, do your job, because it helps everybody out.
You're never not an option in the passing game.
Right.
Especially with a mobile quarterback.
And with the way the O-line's been playing for the most part, you very well may have an opportunity, you know, if coverages break down and whatnot. So,
I mean, I hope not. I hope he gets it right because I think he's a talent and he's fun to watch.
Yeah.
But I need him going 100% every play. And again, if that's not right, then I apologize. But again, when you hear the same thing from so many different sources over so many different weeks, like,
yeah,
that's what it is.
It is what it is. And one other thing from him, he also asked, will this guy go on an NC-17 rant again this year? And he's referring to hogsports.com publisher Trey Biddy, who after the Arkansas game last year went on an absolute tirade about our win. My hope is that
I barely remember that. I'm going to go check that out again.
Yeah, I'll send you, I'll send you the link right now. You can check it at your leisure. But one thing I will say is I pray that we have him in another rant. That would make my life just ecstatic because that means we did our job.
For entertainment purposes, absolutely, I would love to. Realistically, I don't know how high their expectations are. So, again, that's the other catch is the greater the disappointment, then probably the greater the expectations were.
Right, exactly.
So that gap between, you know, what you think is going to happen and what reality tells you, when that gap gets really wide, there are some people that can't handle that.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to watching that. I don't think I remember that.
No, I had seen it last year. It was.
That's awesome.
Quite highly entertaining.
It kills me that people get that upset about it. I just, good God, man, it's a game. Go outside and, you know, go for a walk or something, man.
Yes. All right. So I did have a question for you, and that's going to be, are there any bands out there musically? So, you know, just going around, that have really caught your ear lately that have sent you down a rabbit hole? If so, who and why? Because,
I don't listen to a ton of new music. So anything that brings me down a rabbit hole is something that I've heard in the past. And for some reason, just like my Spotify starts kind of hammer on them.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a tough one. Sometimes I get caught in kind of a loop when it comes to music.
Mm-hmm.
So right now here, I'll pull up my Spotify and I'll tell you what my top ones are, like my top albums.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
One of them's called Dad, because we used to have a shared Spotify.
Yeah.
So that's like a That's all over the board. Like out there's no classical music on it, but outside of that, like literally everything else is on it.
Cool.
So obviously been on a kick with Psychobilly for a while. So I got the Sharks and the Meteors on there.
Okay.
I can kind of listen to those guys all day. Sam Cooke, he rotates. Like I won't listen to him. He just for some reason won't pop up on my playlist. Then he pops up, and then I'm like hooked on him for 96 hours. I do have Clint Black. I kind of went down a Clint Black hole.
Ooh, love Clint Black.
Yeah, I hadn't listened to him in a while, and he popped up, and I was like, "Yeah, that works for me." Little bit of Lucas Trichinole, the acoustic guy, because he's something you can kind of also put on in the background, you know, like you can engage whenever you want to, and then not. So,
Yeah.
him, Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons.
Oh yeah. Always off
And
like that.
and Buble, those have been kind of the ones that have been like rotating a lot lately.
Love
And
Boo.
little Chuck Berry and Chris Isaac.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Tell you, I'm all over the board. Oh, Slipknot actually was the top one. I forgot to say Slipknot.
Slipknot. Oh.
Yeah, I got from Chris Isaac to Slipknot. That's the world I live in.
Dude, I love Slipknot. I, you know, they've been on tour. They've been, I guess, like touring basically, I guess, their first record again, and they're all dressed up like they used to be dressed, like
Oh,
some
wow.
the red
Oh, that's rolling stuff.
jumpsuits. Corey Taylor's got the old mask with the dreads. I mean, it's
I love
old
that stuff.
school. That's great.
If you've never heard of Slipknot and you're not into super hard metal, don't. Don't. Like, just don't.
Yeah, Slipknot is certainly an interesting band to go digging through their
They're
catalog.
weird.
They
Man,
are
they're
weird.
weird. They're
They're
hard
weird.
metal. The lyrics, if you hear the lyrics, they're kind of nutso.
Oh yeah, that goes back to Corey
I
Taylor.
got hooked on them when I was in Iraq, and so it's really great workout music, and it's great for patrolling, so
Oh sure.
makes you angry.
You said Clint Black there a second ago. It reminded me of something. So Clay Walker related, kind of a funny little aside from the topic, but there was
I love Clay Walker.
a TikTok that came up, and it was like unnecessary censorship where you like, bleep a word, and it was the chorus of "If I can make a living out of beeping you,"
Oh,
right?
that's pretty funny.
And the dude laughs, and then it cuts to Clay Walker, and he's just looking at the camera like this, just going, "That ain't right, but it has crossed my mind."
I love Clay Walker's so great, man.
Yeah. So for me, there was a band I started digging in through the weeds on within the last couple of weeks, and they have been so fascinating to me. It's a band called Sabaton. Have you ever heard of them?
I have not.
Oh, okay. They are a Swedish power metal band. They don't
I was about
much.
to say they sound like something my buddy listens to. So I've
Yeah.
actually probably heard that name before.
Yeah, no, they're fantastic. They're so good. I mean, they won't call themselves power metal because their whole thought process is power metal is fantasy and high vocals, and we don't have fantasy, and this is not high vocals, but it maintains that energy. Like it's that kind of driving, that kind of stuff.
Nordic rock is so weird.
Yeah, and it's got like kind of Iron Maiden influence. It's got a lot of blending, flavors there. But they almost exclusively sing about historical events. And
Wait,
all
where'd you say they were from?
from Sweden.
From Sweden. Yeah, Norway and Sweden are kind of their thing. And then Iceland, Icelandic
Yeah.
rock is insane.
Oh yeah, it's wild.
It's not, it's hard to listen to.
Right.
That's
So
pretty funny
like
about singing about historical events, though.
I mean, like, for example, just to give you an idea, so they put out an album called The Last Stand in 2000, and I want to say, 16. And to give you an idea on this, every single song is based on a historical last stand that took place during fighting. So, like, the first one's called Sparta. It's about the Battle of Thermopylae. Last Dying Breath, which is about the Serbian defense of Belgrade. The Blood of Bannockburn, which is during the
Scottish Revolution.
Scottish Revolution. The Lost Battalion during the
That's
Battle of
fun.
Argonne during World War I, Battle of Rorke's Drift, Last Stand, which the actual title of the album, The Last Stand, that title track is based on the Swiss Guards defending during the sack of Rome. And my personal favorite track on the whole album is called Winged Hussars, and it's about the Battle of Vienna when the Polish Winged Hussars came in and saved saved Vienna. During
How?
the,
How?
it's incredible.
How do you, one, I mean, I'm sure you find it. Two, like, At what point in your music career do you say, you know what, we should just be all in on? And you pull out like a history book, blow the dust off it, open it up and be like, let's start here.
I love the reason why I love this song. Like, it literally starts right out the gate with a, when the winged hussars arrive. And it's just like a whole, like, it sounds triumphant. Like you're about to watch it. Yeah, it's like you're about to watch a cavalry charge in your head. It's so cool.
We gotta get you another hobby, man.
Oh, dude, no, until
they write a song about the Alamo, they're invalid.
I was about to say, well, and I'm sure that they're just not aware of it. But like I said, they do it's possible. But the thing is, they go through so many. And like, yeah, the last two records, one was almost exclusively World War One. The last one they just put out was exclusively World War II.
They're not at a dearth for content. I'll give them that.
No, exactly. Yeah, the last album is called The War to End All Wars, and that was in 2022, and that was a World War II one, and it follows This one is, yeah, so the last album is World War One related, and it starts right from the beginning called Sarajevo, and it's about the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand, and it wraps up with the Treaty of Versailles. It's literally just the war. From front to back for 45 minutes in musical form.
This is the weirdest thing that I've ever heard of.
Oh, dude, go listen to them. They're so good. Truly, truly phenomenal band. But what all do you got going on this week?
Well, before anything, I do want to give a shout out to Texas A&M head softball coach, Trisha Ford. Four commits in the last few days.
Awesome.
She's burning it up on the trail. Looks like she's willing to carry a whole bunch of pitchers, which I love. Because then you have selections.
Which is so important. So
just, you know, as good as we were, and we banged on this during softball season and baseball season, like, watch out for her at Texas A&M.
Yeah,
straight up. I'm thrilled with the direction it's going. So for those of you who don't follow softball recruiting, there you go. We got four new commits in the last 2 days, something like that.
Yeah.
So, and big time commits, a couple of speedy outfielders, a couple of pitchers, I believe. I know one of them was a pitcher. The other one, I can't remember. I think it was a pitcher, but. Mm-hmm. Big news on the softball front. So she just continues to work, you know, behind the scenes where everybody's paying attention to football. And
yeah, it's that time of year, but there are other things going on. There is a lot of recruiting for the spring sports right now, and that's a very important thing. And, you know, baseball's got their fall series coming up, a couple of them, I think, where they're going to play a couple of games in the fall.
Yeah, I think it's in October. So we
those are coming up pretty quick. I know they're playing Houston and somebody else. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on that front. But so excited for softball. What's going on in your world this week?
It's just work for me, man. I got three properties under contract last week, so that makes this week busy for me. And
yes.
Busy is good. And so despite what anybody tells you out there with the market being terrible, it's not what I'm seeing, and that's not what BRG is seeing. Like, we're still moving properties and there's stuff to be had out there. The Fed rate cut. If you want to know more about it, just feel free to send me a DM. I'm not going to brief the whole thing here, but oddly enough, when you see a Fed rate cut, that actually makes mortgage rates rise just a touch initially.
Mm-hmm.
So for people that know that, that wasn't the Fed saying all mortgage rates go down a half, you know, half percent. That means they're cutting the Fed fund rates. If you want to know more, I'll put you on my email list. Happy to nerd it up with you.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, just working and enjoying things, man. Still just working through this house renovation bit by bit. It's kind of just a big thorn in my side, and I feel like it's never going to end. So I feel like it's 290, and by the time I get done, it's going to be time to start over again.
Yeah.
So.
Well, to give you guys a little bit of heads up. So next week, Monday and Tuesday, I will not be available for the podcast. I'm going to be on a cruise. currently the plan of attack is we just got through this past weekend, a couple of solid shows, down there in Rowdy's at Spring. That was fun. And then, all the fine folks over in East Texas over there at Bonita Creek and Nacogdoches, thanks for showing up and giving us a hell of a day. That was a blast. It was a fun show. But yeah, we are officially, into our baby break. Carson and Carly are going to be due on the 2nd of October. Although the way things are trending, it's starting to look like the baby may be a little early. So we'll keep an eye on that.
Nice.
But we won't have another show until mid-October. I'll get you more information on that when we get closer. But the big thing right now, so we're flying out Thursday from Houston to Orlando, putz around at Disney for a couple of days. We're going to go do some lightsaber building over there at Galaxy's Edge, because why not? And then
go drink around the world.
Yep, go drink around the world. That's the plan.
Tell you avoid the ride lines. Don't go on them.
Exactly. And then we're going to go on a cruise out of Fort Lauderdale all the way down to St. Martin, St. Thomas, play around, I guess, at the Royal Caribbean's, their own little island they've got there. So looking forward to all of that. But in the meantime, a far more fascinating thing that may be taking place in the short term, hurricane currently starting to try to form in the Gulf, and it's looking like it will be impacting Florida potentially on Thursday when we're supposed to be flying in. So trying to work around this whole hurricane situation. I'm hoping that it continually just moves on, gets through it quickly, and keeps going. But it's a very, very quick developing system. And to make it worse is the early models, two of them, and the fact that you have two models doing this, have a the pressure millibar down sub 900, which typically when you have sub 900 millibar, that's going to be a potentially very strong hurricane. So we can hope that it blows through quickly. Hopefully it doesn't affect flights. It's going to, but
well, maybe it'll just head out to sea. You never know.
Well, it's cruising right up through the Gulf. So we'll see how it plays. There's a lot of factors there, but no podcast next week, but we will touch on, hopefully.
What are you talking about? We'll do it for you. You just need to be on the boat. They got Wi-Fi. I'm sure they do.
Yeah, we will. It's my vacation, man.
I don't blame you.
But we'll highlight. Hopefully, come back and have some good things to talk about with Arkansas, and hopefully some good things to talk about. We'll be back Sunday, so I'll get a chance to review the footage from Missouri, hopefully, and we'll have plenty to talk about with Arkansas and Missouri at that point.
All right.
So, be sure to follow us on our socials, guys. And we appreciate you guys asking questions, of course, and would love for y'all to continually push those out. I'm going to do a better job of making sure we're posting for those questions earlier, so you guys have more opportunity to get them in.
And if he does get stuck in the airport, maybe we will slam one out.
Yeah. You know, we'll figure something out. Like I said, at the end of the day, we'll figure something out.
Yeah. If nothing else, I'll at least text you the picks and we can get those put out for next week. I'll give you the picks and you can pick them, and we'll tweet them out or post them out or whatever.
Yeah, we'll get it all sorted. But be sure to follow us on our socials. Be sure to go follow Roy. His stuff's down below. My stuff's here. So looking forward to another round of bacon and eggs. So
yes,
always
the pork this weekend.
Yes, all the pork, all the bacon.
Oh, I've got Jonna sent me this little video. She sends me food videos all the time, basically because she wants me to cook it for. So you take a piece of bacon, slice it in half. And you take like Pilsner Farms, whatever, just like some smoked sausage, and coin them. And so you lay the bacon crisscross down flat, put the piece of sausage, and then you put a little cube of cheese, not cube, like just a little flat slice kind of on it. Mm-hmm. Then put a fresh jalapeno, wrap the bacon up over top of it, stick a toothpick in it, grill it. And then you, when you go to eat it, you submerge it completely in barbecue sauce and cram it. I'll have pictures. I'm doing that one.
Eat the hell out of Arkansas, baby.
Dig it.
Dig it. All right. Y'all have a great day. Catch y'all soon.